Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Eric Kingston, who is a professor of social work at Syracuse University, who served as policy advisor to two presidential commissions, the 1982 to 1983 National Commission on Social Security Reform and the 1994 Bipartisan Commission on Entitlement and Tax Reform. He is also founding co-director of Social Security Works, an organization which launched and staffs the Strengthened Social Security Coalition, which he co-chairs. Welcome to Background Briefing, Eric Kingston.
Great to be back, Ian. Thank you.
And I take it that it's good news, as far as you're concerned, that President Obama will not include cuts to Social Security in the 2015 White House budget.
Absolutely excellent news. We're very happy the president has aligned himself with, frankly, the will of the American people.
So is this to say, though, that chain CPI is dead? Because they haven't put it in the budget, but a White House spokesman said it still could be on the table. So what's your understanding of that?
Well, I don't think there's much of a chance that there's going to be a table with Republicans proposing to raise taxes. So I think it's certainly dead until after the midterm elections, the November elections this year.
But isn't this budget that we're talking about circumscribed by the proposals under this two-year bipartisan spending agreement reached in December between Senator Patty Murray and Representative Paul Ryan?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So what is the president proposing here in terms of what he's offering?
I haven't looked totally at what's coming out, but I think he's pivoted toward away from austerity and towards developing proposals that would move the economy forward. His minimum wage decisions are there. He doesn't have legislation on that, but he's moving much more assertively towards addressing some of the unemployment problems we're all facing.
Well, apparently he has a $56 billion proposal called Opportunity, Growth, and Security Initiative, which largely is to do with education initiatives with the universal pre-kindergarten. And do you think he's going to embrace what Elizabeth Warren's saying? It's not just a question of not having this chain CPI, but she's saying that you need to bolster Social Security. You need to seniors are having a hard time. Is that what you're hearing?
Well, yes. I think I'd say two things. One, I think the president is putting forward a budget and a vision of more spending on social needs, on social investment, and educational investment. At the same time, he has acknowledged that the chain CPI is not a proposal that his party is in favor of, and he says he never really was in favor of it. It was mainly a Republican proposal, so we're happy to let that stand. I don't know. I would hope that the president would follow up what he's done, what he said in the State of the Union address a couple of weeks ago. He made it clear that he understands that Social Security for many seniors, many people with disabilities, is not sufficient to maintain a reasonable standard of living. He hasn't followed that up with any proposals to increase benefits, but I think it opens the door and it highlights what Elizabeth Warren, what really a moderate Senator Begich from Alaska has been saying, what Tom Harkin and Bernie Sanders and many others have started to say, that we have a retirement income crisis in the country, and we have to start thinking about dealing with it. And when you think about what we need to do, the most logical thing to do is expand Social Security benefits. This is the richest nation in the world. We can certainly afford to do more than have really, two-thirds of our working people today looking forward to a retirement where they can't maintain their standard of living.
But what about raising the caps? Because the wealthiest Americans pay pretty much the same as middle-class Americans.
Yeah, that's certainly, eliminating the cap is a very sensible thing to do. It would address a good chunk of the projected 80-90% of this projected shortfall. There are many other things we could do too. I would go much further personally than simply raising the cap. I would consider, I would propose putting a tax on people who make $1 million or more, on the million and first dollar and beyond, have them pay 10% on all earnings above $1 million, and put that, direct that towards strengthening the Social Security program and enabling us to expand benefits. Senator Harkin doesn't go that far, but he has a proposal which would, in fact, expand benefits about $70 or so a month, and also address a lot of the projected shortfall, and would also come up with a fairer and better cost of living adjustment for everybody. Right now, you know, it's good. The president, the White House, put forward with, you know, picked up on a Republican proposal, but they embraced this idea of the chain CPI. And at first, they were saying it's a better way of measuring inflation. Over time, I think it became clear to just about everyone, or large numbers of people, it's not a better way of measuring inflation, but it's a stealth-like way to cut benefits. And they've moved away from it, and that's good. The reality is that the cost of living adjustments for older people, people with disabilities, do not keep up with inflation, and we should have a way of measuring inflation that doesn't overstate or understate the impact of the cost of living, just assures that benefits maintain their purchasing power. Tom Harkin's bill, Senator Begich, a number of others have been very, very supportive of something called the CPIE, but basically a fairer way of measuring cost of living. And so I think those are very realistic things. Frankly, I'd go further. I think of Social Security as an institution that's here to help us all progress as a society. There are many young people who are contributing into the system, and one of the great risks that American families face, that hardly any other nation's, industrial nation's families face, is a lack of support of wages if they have to leave work because of illness, or if they have to leave work to care for a very aged parent or a very sick child or a very sick spouse. Having some kind of modest family leave benefit, not just assuring that people can go back to their jobs if they leave to care for someone or themselves, but a benefit that supports the loss of wages in that kind of period, that's something this country can do, and it would align us with virtually every other industrial nation in the world. So I think we should start, I think it's time to start thinking expansively in this, of how to use this system that is really our system to address major problems American families face, to address the retirement income crisis, and to do it in a way that where we all may contribute more, but we especially, as people who've won the lottery in the past 20 years, to pay their fair share.
Again, I'm speaking with Eric Kingston, who's a professor of social work at Syracuse University, who served as policy advisor to two presidential commissions, the 1982 to 1983 National Commission on Social Security Reform and the 1994 Bipartisan Commission on Entitlement and Tax Reform. He's also the founding co-director of Social Security Works, an organization which launched and staffs the Strengthen Social Security Coalition, which he co-chairs. So I guess in this election year, the president is not trying to reach out to the Republicans and being rejected as he was by offering up the chain CPI, and even then they wouldn't play ball. And it's but still he made compromises. He's made compromises in the Patty Murray Ryan agreement. Unemployment's been cut. You know, they've tried to restore it for 1.3 million Americans, but that's gotten nowhere. Food stamps have been cut. It is going in the wrong direction as far as helping those in need, isn't it? And you've got this whole specter of why all this austerity was necessary, which was the so-called deficit. The deficit's going down to record levels at record speed. So, I mean, why not turn the debate around and start talking about real stuff instead of pandering to these scare tactics?
I hope that will happen. I think it's going to happen with members of the House and the Senate. I guess I want to do two things here. One, I compliment the White House for having backed away from the chain CPI. And I don't think they ever loved the idea, but they certainly saw it as an option they were very willing to push, and I think was a very bad idea. But they aren't doing that now, and I'm pleased about that. And I have to say, I think it's a victory for all the organizations, for all the citizen voices that came in and said, don't cut these benefits, whether it's the AFL-CIO, the Alliance for Retired Americans, many people, organizations and the coalitions we're a part of, worked very hard to block cuts to Social Security. And I think working together, everyone was effective, and that's good. But I agree with you, that's not enough. We need to be talking about pivoting and putting some real issues front and center on the nation's agenda. The cuts to food stamps are outrageous. The long-term unemployment, when our unemployment rates, the long-term unemployment rates are much higher than they were in any other recession when we stopped long-term unemployment insurance. This is outrageous. There's been a nastiness in our society where we start blaming people who are unemployed, blaming people because they need food stamps, and that has to stop. And I would love to see our president, who has the bully pulpit, speak far more forcefully than he has spoken about issues concerning inequality, but also about issues affecting poor people. The word poor is not a dirty word, but we haven't been using it in our political lexicon. The word anti-poverty is not a dirty word. We need to be thinking about that, I think, at the same time we're thinking about maintaining protections for the middle class. Just sort of add one more thing here. The president was also responding to tremendous pressure by members of the Congress, the House, and the Senate, who have pushed very hard to move the chain CPI out of his budget. So I think I'm going to give the White House credit, but it doesn't hurt that 117 members the day before yesterday signed a letter to the president saying, 117 members of the House saying, please pull the chain CPI out of the budget. And it doesn't hurt that there have been direct discussions by members of the Senate with the White House, and that 16 members a few weeks ago signed a letter saying, do not cut Medicare, Social Security, or Medicaid. So this is all positive. I think many of those members are now moving forward with strong voices to talk about how to strengthen some of these programs. And so I guess the point you're, yes, huge compromises have been made, and compromises usually that harm the most vulnerable in our society, and that's wrong.
Well, just in closing, in this election year, will concern about the poor have traction? Because after all, the poor don't tend to vote. I understand that the middle class, there's some traction with the concern over growing income and wealth inequality. Do you expect both that to be an issue and helping the poor an issue in this election?
I don't know, but I'd like to see it. It's really helping hardworking low-wage workers for the most part who are poor. We have large numbers of people who work full-time year-round, and they are not able to maintain a reasonable standard of living. We have other people who are not able to work. I don't know, but I think, you know, when we think about deficits, I think the biggest deficit this country has faced in the last 5-6 years is a moral deficit. Our president has the capacity and at times the passion to speak to that deficit, to speak to the risks facing many Americans, middle class and low income. I don't know if he will. I think that if the party or anyone who aligns themselves with Social Security in this election is likely to do a whole lot better. This system is the system that is the difference between this last recession having been a total disaster for the American people and just having been really bad, horrible. Yeah. But yeah. I think there's a benefit to candidates who are going to talk about expanding benefits, and I like to think that there's a value in talking about protecting working persons of all ages and non-working persons with programs like unemployment insurance or food stamps.
Well, Eric Kingston, I thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Ian. I appreciate it.
Again, I've been speaking with Eric Kingston, who is a professor of social work at Syracuse University, who served as policy advisor to two presidential commissions, the 1982 to 1983 National Commission on Social Security Reform and the 1994 Bipartisan Commission on Entitlement and Tax Reform. He's also the founding co-director of Social Security Works, an organization which launched and staffs the Strength in Social Security Coalition, which he co-chairs. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program's available for podcasting at ianmasters.com. You can also contact me, and I'll be back again with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.